The Hammer Down Show is back. 1017 The Hammer, 1017thehammer.com. I'm Jared. That's Duff over there. What's up, buddy?
Wow. It has gotten out of hand on the north side. My goodness.
There go the fans. See you later.
11-1. What inning is it? The fourth?
Look at all these people getting up from behind home plate and leaving.
Is it raining or are they just done with it today?
A little of both, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, I see some ponchos coming out.
Oh, my goodness.
That's only fair. Still. 11-1. Even in the fourth, it's a little bit early to... You spent money on a ticket. Fourth inning's a little early to leave, isn't it?
Yeah, for what you spend up there, yes.
Yeah. Let's head to the Wings and Center Hammerhead Hotline, and let's talk with Mike DeFabo. He is our guest. I actually got to spend the evening a little bit with Mike last night, Clayton, which was nice. We were out at Jeff practice, and Mike's actually been working on an article with Stewart, haven't you, Mike?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. As you guys might know, Stewart was involved in the NFL's concussion lawsuit, so I've kind of been following him around a little bit, bothering him a lot, asking some questions and stuff like that. So he was talking with the guys out there at Lafayette, Jeff, about his experiences playing football. So just wanted to kind of get out there, talk to him a little bit and stuff like that, and also spend some time with you, Jared, bug you a little bit.
See, I thought Mike was joining the broadcast crew then for high school football.
Well, he doesn't do high school.
Hey, I'm in. If you guys need another one, maybe a sideline reporter, maybe a hot dog runner, someone to run you nachos or something like that. I'll take a little bit of side money, a side job.
See, that's me right there. Stewart's on the keto. He won't be eating any nachos or any of that stuff. So he's a healthy eater now.
And it sounded like a great idea until Mike mentioned the word money, and then it just.
Right.
It's just I don't know what to say though is
it'll look great on the resume.
Yes, it will.
If you want to give someone an unpaid internship or something like that, great on the resume.
Exactly. Well, Mike, as we get set for Monday and the first of a couple days of media fun up in Chicago, what are your thoughts now going up there and covering Purdue for a couple days? What do you think will be some of the big storylines?
Well, I think from a league-wide perspective, I think there's going to be a lot of talk about the rule changes. There's the rule change where you can fair catch a kickoff inside the 25-yard line, and they'll bring the football out to the 25-yard line for you to start your drive. That's going to be a big discussion point about what all the coaches around the league think about that, I'm sure. There's also the new redshirt rule, which is really big, where players can – I think we talked about it actually here one time, where players can play up to 4 games and maintain their redshirt without burning it. So those two things. The other thing that I was hearing, the Big Ten, some ADs, I think, got together, and with the whole legalized sports gambling, they've talked about trying to introduce a universal injury report where everyone will have to put out a full injury report rather than just kind of saying, well, yeah, maybe this guy will play, maybe he won't, because what you don't want is you don't want bettors getting in these football players' ear and constantly pestering them, asking, is this guy going to play? Is your buddy going to play? So those are 3 things from a league-wide perspective that I'm interested in. From a Purdue perspective, I'm just kind of curious how Jeff Brohm's going to handle it, because last year when he showed up, well, first of all, this event, these Big Ten media days, they kind of play right into the hand of a P.J. Fleck or a Jim Harbaugh. I mean, P.J. Fleck last year showed up with a burgundy and gold checkered suit. He was at 8 a.m. and he was only half joking that they put him first to wake everybody up. Jim Harbaugh acts like a clown and makes jokes and wears a baseball cap to the podium while everyone else is wearing, you know, suits and ties and stuff like that. But Jeff Brohm's demeanor was like he was wearing a black suit that you could easily either wear to a funeral or a job interview, like just the plain black suit, plain gold tie. He wasn't making any promises. He wasn't a spokesman, a big salesman up there. He was just telling it straight. And so I'm kind of curious now after he's had some success, what his demeanor will be up there, whether he'll continue that same approach, be one of the more understated coaches, or maybe he'll go more towards the flashier side. And now that they've had some success, go ahead and talk about that and, you know, set some lofty goals for the public.
He could. So you're saying there's a possibility he could turn into the Big Ten's Larry Fedora? Is that what we're hoping for at this point, Mike?
I don't hope that he does that, to be honest with you. He does have the whole let's play football thing, but those were some outlandish comments.
It'd be great if Brohm showed up Monday with the big ice pack on his shoulder after throwing out the first pitch on Saturday evening at the Cubs game. You know, like really playing that up.
Actually, I saw today in the gym, I saw Coach Waz, the baseball coach, and I was asking him if he was going to give Jeff Brom any pointers before the game, and he said, "Nah, man, he's got a great arm. He'll be rearing to go. He'll be ready to. He'll bring the heat."
Well, we had him on the program. Was it yesterday? The day before yesterday, Duff. And you know, Mike, a lot of those questions, and I think a lot of the indie media tried to ask the same thing too, because I was very big in wondering about if he had given any thought to the red shirt rule and how that might change things. And he was very noncommittal about everything. I don't see his demeanor changing much from last season. It seems like he knows what works for him. And he's a guy that just really stays in his lane, doesn't he? He doesn't try to outdo anybody or anything like that. He's not a guy that really seeks the spotlight either. I mean, he just goes out there, he does his thing. There's no BS in it. We've heard it from plenty of players when we ask why they choose to come to Purdue. We've talked to coaches. They say the exact same thing. It's straightforward. It's really no extra frills or flash. I mean, I hope he doesn't change it at this juncture. I hope he continues to do the way he's doing it, because it's a nice change of pace. You brought up Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I don't want him to be I don't want him to be Jim Harbaugh, Mike.
No, you don't want that. I mean, I think it's almost funny, because on one hand you have this offensive style that's all about flash and fun and trick plays, and then you have his personality is basically the polar opposite. And his personality is just kind of, like you said, very, you know, simple. I think what he understands is he gains nothing from winning press conferences. You know, you don't get an extra mark in the win column for winning a press conference. You have to go out there. You have to actually do it on the football field. And so these events are great for the coaches that are flashy and flamboyant. But for a guy like Jeff Brom, you're not going to see a huge headline from him. I mean, I think it's going to be beneficial to a guy like me, where you can ask some questions about, you know, personnel and stuff like that. You know, maybe there's some guys who have left the team for whatever reason, or, you know, questions about specific ways that they might tinker the offense or something like that. But if you're expecting a big headline to come out of Jeff Brom, I don't expect it at all.
Mike DeFabo with us from CNHI Sports Indiana on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. So, Mike, the two quarterbacks will be up there next week with Blau and Sindelar. What was your reaction when you saw the news that both guys would be there, and how do you think they'll handle that?
Well, I thought it was surprising, because I think you could really go two ways with it. You could have either taken no quarterbacks, or I guess you can take two. And I think it's kind of funny that they entered last season looking to kind of establish who was going to be the quarterback, and they had this unique quarterback rotation where, as everyone who watched the team last year probably knows, the starter would play the first quarter, the backup would play most of the second quarter, if not all of the second quarter, and then they would kind of ride the hot hand through the rest of the game. It seems to me that by taking two quarterbacks, they're no closer to settling that quarterback competition than they were a year ago. I would expect the competition to continue at least into camp. And so from a on-field perspective, that's what I read into it. From just an intangible standpoint, what you're telling me is that both quarterbacks, you feel confident getting up in front of a huge group of reporters and basically being the spokesman of your team, which is great. If you have two guys that you think from a maturity level and from an ability to string sentences together and be a leader and be the face of your team, if you have two guys who can do that and they're both at the quarterback position, then that's great. So it'll be curious to see what ends up happening this year in terms of on the field. I really don't know what they'll end up with, because, I mean, David Blau could have ensured that he was a starter for every single game if he had transferred. He had already graduated. He could have left. So I think he's the more interesting case, that he chose to come back to Purdue and spend a graduate season with Purdue. So I'm curious. I'm going to be wanting to ask him a whole bunch of questions about that, about why he decided to come back for that fifth year and what he's hoping to get out of it.
Mike, the odds are that a offensive and defensive Big Ten player of the year would be in that grouping as well up at Big Ten Media Day, not necessarily for Purdue, but just in the room throughout all the kids that are coming up. Have you given any thought to who your offensive and defensive players of the year in the conference would be?
Oh, well, offensive obviously has to be Elijah Sindelar, and defensive has to be Marcus Bailey, right?
Yeah, but what about the Big Ten as a whole? Who do you see possibly winning that? I mean, that's the easy one right there, I think, if you're a Purdue fan. But in the conference in general, have you given any thought to an offensive and defensive player of the year?
Well, you know, I haven't put a ton of thought into it, to be perfectly honest with you. have been so focused on Purdue right now. The running back from Northwestern coming back. I think he could be good. His name's kind of escaping me right now, but I mean, like you said, there's going to be talent all across the board there, lots of talented players.
Well, the other thing, Mike, you were talking about the quarterbacks. I mean, clearly Coach Brahm is comfortable enough to go up there for 2 days and answer 1,458 questions about his quarterback situation. I mean, that could irritate a lot of other coaches around the country, and clearly he's fine with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's answered enough bad questions for me over the time that a couple more bad ones for me probably will be okay from him.
There you go. All right, well, Mike DeFabo, again, you can follow him. What's the Twitter handle, Mike?
All right, I got my answer, though. I got my offensive answer here. I'm looking through the names of the players.
Okay.
Trace McSorley is going to be my offensive player, quarterback from Penn State. I think that he's going to step in without Saquon Barkley in there. The emphasis is going to be on him to kind of run the show for Penn State's offense. So I think that he's going to be a big name to look at. Defensively, I mean, I think that Wisconsin always has such a great defense filled with guys, and Michigan is also another team that's like stacked at defense year in and year out. I really like their defensive lineman, Chase Winovich. He's a senior defensive lineman. Those are my two picks if I were to pick two guys.
All right, Mike DeFabo. Mike, what's the Twitter handle so the fans can follow you?
It's just simple, just at Mike DeFabo.
Look at that. Very simple to do. Mike, hey, we always appreciate you having on. Looking forward to reading the article that you're writing with Stuart and all on the NFL concussion stuff. So we'll keep an eye out for that. Let us know when that thing's finished and we can read that, all right?
All right. Sounds good, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Coming